The Pasco County DEC is providing this podcast as a public service in order to let you know more about the issues and ideas which Democrats have identified as being very important for voters, and also to provide a forum for Democratic candidates for office. Our podcasts are open to anyone interested in how Pasco Democrats are dealing with the important issues of the day. You can check out our PascoDems.com website and also on Facebook, Pasco Dems, and the views expressed by the guests and hosts on our podcast are their own, and not the official views of the Pasco County Democratic Party or Democratic Executive Committee. Now, so today we are having again a broadcast with Kim Walker, who is a candidate for District 12, and her opponent is Gus Belarakis, who's been in there forever. And we have a lot of questions asked. It's been last August, I think, when we talked. So, Kim, I'm going to ask you this. First of all, you've been out on the campaign trail now for quite a long time. What have you learned about District 12 voters, their concerns, their problems, their interests, and so forth?
Well, right now it's mostly the inflation that's happening, gas prices. That's one of their concerns. Depending on who you talk to, like your LGBTQ, they're concerned about what's happening with the schools. And then, of course, the lack of rights that LGBTQ, the community has. African Americans, we're, you know, still concerned about voting rights, and then also dealing with holding our police accountable. And then, of course, there's always still health care and, you know, the rising cost of prescription drugs. So it's a big mix.
Okay. And I know the prescription drugs was a major thing for you in the past, and health care in general and so forth, and also climate change. Have many people talked about climate change, or are other things simply crowding it off the stage?
Yeah, some of them have been talking about climate change. They're more focused on, with gas prices, on how we can try to wean ourselves off of fossil fuels, especially with our cars. And so that was kind of a big major concern. I have noticed that, let's see, Newport Richey and also Pinellas are looking at increasing their fleet with electric vehicles, mm-hmm. Which will offset that, the rising cost of gas.
Right.
But right now, I think the more major concern right now is actually inflation.
Okay. And what, all right, so I'm going to ask you the loaded question now. Let's assume that you're talking to me in a at a campaign event, and I raise my hand, and you say, yes, sir. And I mm-hmm. say, what I would like to know is, what can you do about climate change as a member of Congress?
Well, we can pass the Green New Deal, for one. In my opinion, because I'm my background is in technology, I honestly believe that technology is what's going to save us with climate change. Innovative technology that will lead to less impact on when it comes to dealing with our fossil fuels. But as far as we can do, we can pass the Green New Deal, and then also in the Build Back Better, there is a provision where Biden would improve the EV for electric cars,
mm-hmm.
Additional incentive to, trade in their old car, gas guzzler, into an electric vehicle. So that's some of the ways we can wean ourselves off of fossil fuels and to improve our climate.
But I know that, a lot of people would sit back and say, but those energy companies, the oil companies and so forth, they still have a huge clout in Washington. What can you try to do, well, maybe not only about their clout regarding climate change, but just the clout that lobbyists have?
Well, so the problem with lobbyists, I'm not a fan of lobbyists, but, it's a First Amendment, our First Amendment guarantees the right to petition the government. Mm-hmm. So we just can't restrict them. And to be honest with you, we have good and bad lobbyists. So it all boils down to who you select it's your choice to actually vote for a candidate that is not going to give our energy companies, our fossil fuels, you know, unfettered access to to continue to drill and just basically, you know, use up all our resources. So basically what we really need to do is just elect official people who want to move us off of our fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
And then also hold them accountable, you know, for the health and the health that they cause with to our communities, you know, with the pollution.
Right.
That's one way of doing it. But, you know, what it all boils down to is you got to elect those people. That's basically what it is.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things we've hopefully found is that maybe Democrats are going to be a little more prone to get to the ballot box this year than they have perhaps in the past. But while we're at it, let's talk a little bit about ballot boxes and voting and the things that have been happening to by the Republicans in trying to stop as many people voting as possible. So I'm sure you must have some ideas about voting. So why don't you talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, well, so, you know, passing the Voters' Rights Act, the John Lewis Act, that's, you know, where we can make a big difference. Unfortunately, we just don't have the votes to get it passed in the Senate. You know, right now, the only thing that I can, you know, really recommend is, you know, sometimes we just got to beat them at their own game. You know, so if they want to try to do some type of restrictions where they say that, okay, you have to register every time you every election in order to receive a mail-in ballot, then okay, let's do that. Mm-hmm. Or if you need to have a certain type of license to prove that you in order for you to register to vote, then let's work on trying to get these people who don't have them those license. Sometimes, like I said, we just gonna have to beat them at their own game, because right now the states are controlled of the voting restrictions, and we just don't, like I said, we don't have the votes in order to override that in the federal government.
Okay. Now, I'm going to talk to a couple of the big major things happening to us today. As a veteran, what do you think about Ukraine?
So, you know, I mean, it's terrible what's happening with Ukraine. But, you know, since Ukraine achieved independence after the collapse of the Soviet Union, it gradually veered to the West. And, you know, Putin doesn't like it. He wants to reverse the course. So I have the utmost respect and for the Ukrainians. You know, they're standing up and fighting for their independence. And I commend Biden for, you know, putting sanctions on, you know, against Russia and their central bank, and, you know, banning Russia oil and gas imports and stuff. So, but yeah, it's a terrible situation, and it's affecting everybody. You know, not just Ukrainians and Russians, but, you know, because we're having to put these sanctions on Russia. We're starting to see some of the effects by, you know, we already had high gas prices. Now they're getting higher. And then, of course, some of the food or commodities that come from Ukraine, we were experiencing that too as well.
Hmm. One of the things I just want to mention now, it's not quite with a campaign and so forth, but for you and for anybody else who hasn't seen it and is listening to the podcast, Noel and I have been listening and watching a program called Servant of the People.
Mm-hmm.
That was done in 2015 by Zelensky. He was a main comedian in Ukraine, and they did this series. There's 51 episodes in the series. It's also been made into a film, about an hour and a half. We're on to about episode number 8, I think, of Servant of the People. And what is amazing, Kim, is realizing here he's, you know, really tackling the problems that one would have if you suddenly become president of Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
and this is 2015. But we're sometimes looking at this and saying, my Lord, what happens if this man is killed? And this back here is one of those testaments to what an ordinary person who has good talent and can try to do to make things better in terms of making this satirical movie about the way things were. It was just fantastic. I don't know if you've seen it yet or been watching it. It's on Netflix, in case You want to. It's called Servant of the People.
And okay.
It is extraordinary. It's one of those things where in real life, something is happening now. This is so real, given the fact that he's now president. You know, in Servant of the People, he gets elected as president in a kind of a loopy way, but mm-hmm. all of a sudden he's president. But of course, now in real life, in 2019, he became president. So when you're watching it, it's just whoa. Anyway, sorry for that little aside there. But
oh no, I'm going to definitely have to check that out too.
Yeah. Okay. Now another major thing is happening. I begin today. I think. Ketanji Brown Jackson and her possible appointment to the Supreme Court. What are your thoughts?
Chef's kiss to President Biden for picking Ketanji Brown. you know, he's confirmed, you know, she's going to be like the first black woman to sit on a court and the first justice who served as a public defender.
Right.
So I think, you know, it's like a great pick for him. Now, I mean, and she'll get confirmed. It's just a matter of time. So I applaud President Biden for picking her.
It's amazing to me how Republicans try to come up with anything that they can. You know, they said, she defended some of those people down in Guantanamo Bay. Wow, well, really bad. Forgetting the fact that everybody in Guantanamo Bay had a right to a trial. They have a right
exactly.
to be represented. And there were a bunch of other lawyers in Washington doing the same thing. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, to be picked on that, you know, it's extraordinary how far Republicans go sometimes. One of the things, I sent an email to Bill Arrakis maybe a year ago, and I was complaining about something, and somehow I got onto the Republican mailing list. And so now every day I get an email from Bill Arrakis. What do I think about this? What do I think about that? And so obvious, you know, it's just nothing more than a public relations thing. But, I'm sure that when you get elected, you'll probably do a similar thing, and we'll be looking forward to what you have to say about things going on in Washington. Let's go back for another moment, too. I want to talk more about you and Washington, D.C., and your personal desire to do something for Americans. Just talk to me about that.
Well, I feel like I would have the biggest, a great impact on D.C. I think it, because of all the because I'm an African American, because I'm an LGBTQ, because I'm a veteran, because my background is in information technology. I have a lot of different ways of definitely fighting for the people and making their lives better. You know, I struggled when I was, you know, growing up and I had to, you know, climb that corporate ladder. I had to, you know, in a technology field, I was, you know, as a woman in a male dominant career, it was very hard for me and I worked countless long hours just to, you know, be able to just be heard. And,
mm-hmm.
and so, for me in Washington, it will definitely be me fighting for the average working class person. You know, and like I said, for LGBTQ is definitely trying to get that Equality Act passed. For prescription drugs, I have an idea of how we can stop the evergreening effect where pharmaceutical companies are stacking the patents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just need to reform that the patent laws. And healthcare, I am, you know, I support the ACA, but I also feel that we really need to move into, healthcare for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think what? The word you were looking for was intersecting.
Yeah.
I was sitting here saying, yeah, what was that? I didn't mean to interrupt that much, but we know you are concerned about healthcare and prescription drugs and that sort of thing. Last year when we first interviewed, there was a couple of things I kept here on a piece of paper. What do you perceive to be the greatest challenge for the United States over the next 10 years?
Bipartisanship.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I think we are continuing. I think we're we've always been divided, but it's gotten worse. And I see it continuing to get worse. And it's just like Tanya Brown, who is running for Supreme Court. The Republicans voted for her when she was working, court?
Right.
And now all of a sudden they don't want her on the Supreme Court. We've lost that. We've lost that bipartisanship. And, you know, I think that it's going, unfortunately, I believe it's going to get worse. And so we really definitely need to figure out how we can, you know, bring everybody back together. We all have our own different types of ideas, but we really need to figure out how we can meet halfway at least.
Okay. Now, you had said back then an emerging technology mm-hmm. is going to have some great things, but also some negative things in terms of job loss. Well, how do you feel about that today? Is it still true?
Yes. Automation. Because I'm a software engineer, so I develop software that makes it easier for businesses to increase their productivity. Mm-hmm. And by doing that, sometimes, they don't need to hire as many people as they did, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, automation is definitely an issue on when it comes to jobs. But there's ways basically trying to help people move from, I'm always learning. So lifelong learning is one of the big parts that I'm definitely trying to push with education.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have more than one skill set in order to be successful. And I hate to say that, but it's always been like that because, back in the days, it used to be a horse and buggy, and then we moved to cars. And so the people who were doing horse and buggy, they lost their jobs and they had to, adapt mm-hmm. and go to, to deal with, become work in a car industry. So it's an ongoing process, but automation is a job killer. And so we just need to learn how to adapt and, and I believe Congress is going to play an integral role on making mm-hmm. sure that people are able to move from one job to another if they lose their job through automation.
I just had this weird thought, and that is, supposing we get robots to the point where it's robots sitting in the seats in Washington and making the votes and anyway.
It still be screwed because somebody has got to have to program that information in there.
Yeah. Okay. One final thing in terms of how about term limits? How do you feel about that these days?
Oh God, yeah, I'm in favor of term limits. I mean, we got people up there that's been there forever. They have just pretty much moved in, and I just really believe that we need term limits. And honestly, I believe that we really need to start. And Democrats are really big on this too. Because we have like Nancy Pelosi and all them. The older generation really needs to start training the younger generation to take the mantle,
mm-hmm.
To pass the ball. So term limits and we really need to put term limits in Congress.
Now, with this and a final thing, just any other thoughts you want to mention? Now we will do this again probably in about 3 months as we get much closer to the primary and so forth. So, any other thoughts that you have that you want to talk about for the moment?
Education. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about these bills that are being passed. I know this is a state level issue, but the bills that are being passed with Governor DeSantis, the Don't Say Gay bill, and I think it was a Stop mm-hmm. Woke Act type bill. I'm very concerned about that. We're losing teachers. I did see that DeSantis is talking about raising teacher salary again, but what he's doing is he's doing it for the starting pay and not the veteran teachers. So there's a level of concern on what's going on in the education, the war on our educational system.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Kim, I want to thank you for your time again. We'll talk to you in about 3 months or so. And continued good luck on the campaign trail. And if people want to contribute and find out more, they can go to your Kim Walker website, right?
Right.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Kim. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Bye.